Kathy Ramstetter is the co-author of, and she's also a health education consultant, on a study that looks at the importance of recess, because a number of schools are getting away with gym class and doing away with recess and expecting you to get your physical education on your own. And she joins us here on WGN. And, you know, the sad thing to me, Kathy, is I drive by a park every single day to and from on my way to work. And when I leave in the summertime and the kids don't have school and I see the baskets empty and the fields empty, it's just sad to see how our society has gotten away from our youth getting some physical activity. How important is recess in this whole thing?
Well, I think, thanks for having me on, first of all.
Thanks for joining us.
Exciting. So, when I look at, we have the same thing here in Cincinnati, empty playgrounds. In fact, some of our playgrounds at schools are locked in the summertime for safety reasons, and other things are happening on playgrounds that we don't really want to be happening on playgrounds. So, recess is one way for children to explore safely, in the supervision of the school day, that kind of physical activity. But it's also important for other things that schools like to do, like educate our children, so it helps give kids a break from cognitive functioning and allows them to come back into the classroom ready to learn, or more ready to learn, able to pay attention in the classroom, which is why it was important for the AAP to step up and put this policy statement out.
Kathy, let's just let's define, so everybody's on the same page, what are you guys defining, or what is recess defined as?
Well, recess, and we're really focusing in the elementary school. So the Centers for Disease Control has many years ago defined the elementary school as schools that include grades up through sixth grade. So it could be your parochial schools that go through eighth grade, but we're really looking at grades up through K through six. And then recess is a time historically that has been spent when the children get to choose, as you may remember when you were in grade school, to do whatever you want. You may have played roughhoused a little bit. You may have sat and just chatted with your friends. But for whatever that period of time was, you as the child got to kind of choose what you wanted to do at recess. So that's what, when we are looking at recess, that was the research that we were looking into, was specifically at that time during the day, which was unstructured, built into the day in terms of the structure, but what the child did at that time of day was for the child's choosing.
Kathy, it's a great article. It's a great study. I'm a big proponent of recess, but what would you say to critics, and I'm not one of these people, but critics who say that recess can be too divisive? You know, the popular kids are on one side, the kids who are real quiet are on the other side of the playground. What would you say to that?
You know, and one is that's going to happen. I think the bigger concerns that we were running into, and anecdotally that we hear about, are concerns with bullying that occurs on the playground. And of course, we want to protect our children from that. So we need to make sure that the person who's supervising the playground knows to recognize those things. It's okay if kids play in their own groups, whatever that group might be. It might be the kids that are really active. It might be the kids that are really quiet. But as long as those children are not interfering with one another and what they choose to do. What we did find, too, with our research was that developmental, socio-emotional development of conflict resolution. Kids need to learn how to do that, you know, and if we are always, as adults, the ones telling them how to do it, they miss out on that opportunity to figure it out themselves.
I want to get back to the whole resolving conflict because before you came on with us, when I was a kid, we would go play pickup basketball. We'd referee our own games.
Uh-huh.
But today, it seems like every kid has to have his own trainer, his own AAU team that he plays on, or her, that mom and dad have to drive them to get to every single one of their events, rather than maybe I'll walk, maybe I'll jog, maybe I'll get on my bike, maybe I'll get on my skateboard. It's just such a different thing, and it just bothers me.
Yeah, it is very different. And, you know, recess isn't going to solve all those things. But that was important, too, that when my co-author and I, Bob Murray, and I first started looking at recess, we were sort of thinking as recess is one more opportunity that schools can offer, a time for kids to be really physically active. But as we looked into it more, it's really a time when kids can do whatever they want, whatever that is, because the rest of their day is so structured. Those kids that are really, really physically active and engaged in sports are in that AAU, or they're in that select soccer, or they're playing AABC or Pony League baseball, whatever that, what hockey. You know, they're at every hockey event, and they're on the ice at 8 in the morning. Whatever that event is, it's really, really structured for them. And recess gives kids that one time in the day that we say, you know what, go do whatever you want to do. If you want to go run around and play basketball, great, have at it. Referee your own games. Call your own fouls. No blood, no foul. That works, which may not work.
I like it.
That's how it worked when I was growing
up.
Yeah,
I think that's fine. No blood, no foul.
Yeah. So it just, it really is, and I think every school is going to have to figure out how to make recess work. You know, I always give an example when I talk to people about recess. The school I volunteer at in Cincinnati has no playground. We're a landlocked inner-city Catholic school. We're actually adjacent practically to the University of Cincinnati, but our old playground became a parking lot for the university. So we have no playground. So the way that we have to make recess work for our kids is different than it might look at the school down the street that has the big playground equipment and the big parking lot with the four square and the tetherball and the big hopscotch on the... Our kids have to make their own hopscotch with five-block chalk every day. But at least we have it. I mean...
We did that, too.
You know?
And jump rope.
Yeah, yeah. And now teachers are sometimes having to provide those little things, sidewalk chalk and jump ropes, out of their own pockets.
Kathy Ramsetter is a health education consultant and one of the co-authors of a policy statement that came out from the American Academy of Pediatrics Council on School Health about recess. Kathy, I was a classroom teacher for a couple of years, and I was in the elementary kids, you know, first, second, third graders. Mm-hmm. And I saw that by the time recess came along, those kids needed a chance to blow off steam. Two things that I found very interesting in the study. One, a lot of times, and I know I was guilty of this at times, teachers use no recess as a punishment, which I wanted you to comment on. And also, I found it very interesting when you said recess should take place in accordance with lunch.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first is, as you experienced as a classroom teacher, and as I've observed as a mother, a volunteer, and working in the school pretty regularly, it unfortunately, in the short term, telling a kid who isn't on task, you know what, Connor, if you don't do this right now, you're not going to get to experience recess. You're going to sit by me on the bench or stand by me out at the playground. And it works in that very short term. But as I'm sure you saw as a teacher, in the long run, it doesn't work.
It doesn't change anything.
You know, and it doesn't really change the behavior. So what we are encouraging, what we want to be able to offer schools is let's look at other ways to really create discipline for the behavior. Let's create a merit system to keep kids on task. Let's engage the parents. If it's homework that's the issue, how do we help parents be prepared to help their kids with homework? If it's being on task in the classroom, what are other things I can do to help this child stay on task? And maybe it is to give them more recess. You know, maybe it's time to take the recess right now. I don't know that that works for every school, but that's looking at other ways to do that. So we really want to make sure that every child gets to have their recess at the time that recess is offered.
Now, what about should recess, this was what I found really interesting and why, that you guys said recess should be before lunch, mm-hmm. where traditionally it's the kids eat lunch and then they go out for recess.
Yeah, and you know that came out of an interesting series of studies that were done initially in Minnesota looking at plate waste. The study was funded by the USDA, an arm of the USDA, about how do we get kids to not waste so much food at lunch. And when recess occurred before lunch, kids ate more, there was less plate waste, and the behavior in the classroom or in the lunchroom was better when kids had recess. So they weren't rushing through lunch to get out to the cafeteria.
It makes sense.
The playground. And one of the
That's
things we tried to do that in Cincinnati is the schedule is so... It's dictated by so many other things than what's really best for the child sometimes. It's dictated by when does the cook need to make lunch, when does the other lunches need to occur. But really for two reasons. One is so kids eat better, and two is so that behavior is better on the playground and in the cafeteria to have recess before lunch.
And real quick, too, Kathy, you said as part of the study as well, too, it's okay to just go out and kind of hang out and talk with friends. You don't necessarily
Absolutely.
Have to be playing, you know, football or whatever. It's okay to just kind of hang and talk.
Right, absolutely. There was a pretty small study, but a really meaningful study done by Jarrett down in Atlanta, Georgia, back in the early 90s, where they looked at the kids with their own control. So some days they had recess and some days they didn't. And no matter what the activity was that the child engaged in, they came back to the classroom less fidgety, better able to focus. And so it doesn't matter what you do on recess. And some days, you know, we're adults. We know some days you want to get really, like, pump it up and get sweaty. And other days you just want to chill. And that's okay.
Well, Kathy, it was a fascinating study. Thanks for taking time tonight to elaborate on it for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Take care.